Blog Talk Radio.
The North American Wrestling Connection. For over 50 months, the revolutionary force in talk entertainment. The North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by...
I thought Brock was going to come out strong like he did. I thought Kane's chances would be better if they went into the fourth or fifth round. I'm a little bit shocked. I thought Brock might have got to him early, but you know what? Kane's a hell of a fighter, and he did a hell of a job. You want to do it?
Brock Lesnar right there.
Wrong, 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 wrong. You are all wrong.
I'm glad I'm not the only one that was drawing that parallel over the weekend. But we got quite a bit to go with here, ladies and gentlemen. Please do not adjust your internet. This is the North American Wrestling Connection. Happy Halloween, everybody. My name is Nikki Heyman. We've got a handful of suspects here. First, from way up in the New York area, our UFC correspondent, VRM.
Just over 1 million people were wrong. I was pretty shocked that Lesnar got rocked so quickly.
I almost thought there'd be some medical stuff to that, but I'll get to that in a moment. Next, we've got our sound man who gives us these awesome intros every week. That would be Mr. Jim Williams.
Thank you, Nikki. I hear from the grapevine that CM Punk had a very interesting Halloween costume if he were to be on SmackDown. Based on the Diva costume contest, he would have just wore a smile on his face, if you know what I mean. And I think you do. Yes.
And that I do. So did Matt Stryker, by the way. And
yes.
On the other side of the border, we have one of our infrequent co-hosts, and that would be Mr. Lucas Pancari.
Good day, shopkeep. I thought the highlight of the show at the UFC show was Joe Rogan's amazing beard returning, but I digress.
Oh! Beards are in, apparently.
I went to a bar a couple years ago, and Joe Rogan's beard showed the first time. Me and a couple of guys I knew from college were chanting beard the entire show. The entire bar was confused.
That's awesome.
Alas, Brock Lesnar's beard of evil did not save him from Cain Velasquez. In fact, it didn't pad his chin enough for the beatdown that apparently he took in the first round.
Yeah, he got about rocked four or five different times in that first round. A couple knees, a couple of big hooks, and it was just, after the third one, it was just ball game maggle.
And let me throw this at you, VRM. Somebody mentioned to me that Lesnar looked gassed in the first 30 seconds of this match. He just did not seem like himself, and maybe that's just because Velasquez had pretty much rocked his world.
Well, that is the case. Within that first 30 seconds, I think Velasquez did get that first major shot in, and from there, Brock was just on defense the entire match. It was really quick for the first rock. I thought Brock was going to go down within the first minute. I was surprised that he survived as long as he did, 4 minutes, 12 seconds. But it was after that first rock, it was only a matter of time. And once the second one came in, it was game over.
Okay. Since I didn't see the match, but it went very quickly because I did have somebody giving me, not necessarily a blow-by-blow, but he called me and said, I'll let you know how it comes out, and he called me less than 10 minutes later saying, it's over. Oh, my God. Now, you'd know a little bit more about this than I would, VRM. I understand that Lesnar is being sidelined for 180 days. For medical reasons. Are they just talking about that horrible gash that he got, or is there another concern?
I have not personally seen California's suspensions. I'll take a look at that right now. So I just have to look that up. UFC 140 suspensions.
Yeah, because I understood that Brock was being put aside for 180 days, which is going to drive him absolutely bonkers. There's not going to be anything left of any gym he works in. Not going to be much left of any of the trainers he works with if he's going to take it out on them. But
fact that when DeLegend was getting gassed, he was sort of gassed, though, in the first round against the Carwin fight. But the thing was, Cain Velasquez had a better cardio than Shane Carwin did.
Here's the situation. He's required to sit out 60 days for the left cheek laceration, no contact. 45 days for precautionary reasons, that because of the TKO. But the 180-day suspension is due to a possible eye injury. That's what the 180 is for.
Okay, that's what I was curious about, because that was one of my questions that my friend could not answer for me. I was worried that cheek laceration was severe enough that he might have a broken cheekbone, he might have a broken orbital, he could even have a detached retina if he got rocked hard enough.
Well, yeah, that's the six month is for a possible eye injury. He can be cleared early, depending on he could have been given a clear on Sunday if he saw an ophthalmologist or ophthalmologist, and he said his eye's fine, but he would still have to sit out at least 60 for the laceration.
Okay, and thankfully this all stacks together. It's not consecutive, meaning that he, you know, technically, if they wanted to make that all
consecutive. It's all concurrent.
Okay. So as cited that Jim threw in our intro, Undertaker, who is renowned for being an MMA fan, was in attendance at the show, and I've seen this video, and I swear to God, it looks like he's just trying to find a way to say something nice. I think he just wanted to tear Brock apart verbally. He wasn't going to be able to do it physically. And even if it were possible, Lucas, would you pay Mania money to see those two square off?
Well, let's see. Well, the thing is, I can actually go to the cinema here, or I have a friend else. But if I was paying my own money just to see those two, I don't know if I would, just because, well, I mean, Lesnar's still in good young shape, but he hasn't been in a professional wrestling ring in almost 6 years now, and Taker's starting to break down himself, so I don't know if I'd pay to see that. The only way I'd probably pay to see a show now, because I'm sort of out of it as is, would be to see if Danielson and Punk were on a card, then I'd probably pay money to see that for sure, but just to see those two, I doubt it.
Now, I'm going to throw this one at you, VRM. Lesnar has had a problem with loyalty, as we saw with him bailing on wrestling for football, bailing on football for Japan, bailing on Japan for UFC, if I've got my figures straight. If Vince threw enough money at him, do you think he'd bail on UFC for a Mania paycheck?
It would depend on the paycheck, because he's been making at least 400 large every pay-per-view he's been on so far for UFC. Plus, not to mention that how much he gets, I don't want to say anything about Dana White or anything, but how much he gets behind the scenes that we don't see, since he draws every title fight he's been in, he's drawn at least $1 million. Plus, I don't know, I forget what the numbers were for 81 when he debuted against Frank Mir, but every title fight he's been in, he's drawn big money for UFC. So it'd be a tough call. Right now, Dana has said that he's staying. So I honestly couldn't say.
Okay.
I have the buy rates, by the way, for those two shows. For UFC 81, Brock's first fight, there was a buy rate of 60,000, and he wasn't even main eventing that night. And then the second show, which wasn't a title fight, which was headlined by a GSP championship fight, that was a 625,000 buy rate.
All right, so that was Yeah, notice all the title fights he's been million plus.
Yeah, exactly. That was
Randy Couture, the second one against Mir, the Carwin fight, and then this past weekend. So he is. So even though it took a couple fights, he is one of UFC's big draws.
And him losing to Velasquez, there was some talk, and every now and again this pops up, that some people think that UFC is a work in itself. I think Dana White would have stood to lose a lot of money if he was to stage Lesnar losing. So this was I'm going to go ahead and say that, you know, UFC is the deal, while WWE is still the work. But that's okay.
Yeah. And Lesnar still, in the loss, still cleared $400,000 bank. So, and that's in the loss. So you don't think this shit's for real?
Like I said, every now and again,
And the fact that now Lesnar's now on the shelf for 6 months with this with the possible eye injury. So that would, I believe that would preclude WrestleMania, I think. Would it?
Let's see. 180 days.
No, it would include it, I would think. That takes you out towards late April.
And Mania is early April this year, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, so it would preclude it. It would be a no-go.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and Dana White's already said no. Not just no, but hell no. So, I'm not even going to be looking for this. If it happens...
Yeah, we're not even going to acknowledge the possibility, I don't think, anymore.
No. So, well, the dust settled from that. Those that did not spend their money on... UFC spent their money on bragging rights, hopefully. I thought it was a solid show. Had a lot of fun with the bonus matches, a tag title match to possibly rejuvenate the Nexus, which I'll get into a little bit more when we get to Raw. And getting Goldust a pay-per-view paycheck by continuing the pursuit of the $1 million belt with him and Ted Jr. I know he's got a book coming out, and he's milking his marriage angle with Exana for all it's worth. But let me throw it out to you guys: we have a revitalized Dustin Runnels here. Is this enjoyable even in the PG era?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's a good thing. It's one of those characters. I mean, a character that has gone off and on for 15 years. And it still works. I mean, it's still pretty much as fresh as ever. I mean, they're trying to go back in time, literally, to the whole he has his Marlena thing now with Oksana. But from my perspective, you know, taking away the theatrics of it all, it's a good story to see him bounce back and, quite frankly, better shape than he's been in a long time.
Mm-hmm. So... However, for all the good of this show, these scores are abysmal, guys.
Terrible.
That is why I abstained.
And even with your abstaining, you tied with somebody. Fourth
what?
Got a great. Yeah. Fourth got the absolute perfect score of zero. Now, I can't dig on him too much because myself and Jason and Typho got exactly one. And that was the Kane Undertaker match, which we might have messed up on if Undertaker wasn't injured. Word on the street is that Undertaker was supposed to win the Buried Alive match, but his rotator cuff, I believe, is injured.
Sure.
So
Ooh, Tommy John, that's not going to be pretty.
So, they that necessitated the Nexus beatdown and a couple of other nasty things that happened to him. They got him thrown in the grave, and that was that. DJ beats us only slightly with 2. Jim, you have second place at 2.5. That's how dismal the scoring is.
Woo! See, good thing I hacked.
So, with that in mind, ladies and gentlemen, break out the Karma Hammer, because the winner of the bragging rights and our new Fizzleweight champion is Stat Boy Josh Henniger. Go ahead, Aaron.
Ragging on him all last week, and yet he comes away with the belt.
That's what you get.
We've all been smoked with the Karma Hammer.
What was his total?
His total was 4.
Okay. Good old.
He got the Bryan Ziggler match right. He got Kane Taker right, so most of us. He got the 7-on-7. He got 2 points on the 7-on-7 because he was the only one who picked SmackDown and picked Mysterio as one of the survivors.
There you go.
And nobody got Orton Barrett just because we didn't know about the edict. Damn you, Wade Barrett. Love you to death, man, but damn you.
Indeed.
So, before we move on, I did want to bring this up. We did lose somebody from WWE history. A ring announcer, a gentleman by the name of Michael Porter. He worked for WWE in the late 80s and early 90s, primarily as a ring announcer out on the West Coast. He had done security at a WrestleMania. He had done quite a bit with the organizations. The knowledge that I have of him is mainly because I've interacted with him periodically on Rob Van Dam's radio show, RVD Radio, which airs on sporadically on Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. I was unaware of this until we went on the air Wednesday night that he had passed on, and I'm sorry to see the man gone. He was only 59. The preliminary prognosis was heart failure. So a voice of the WWE has left us.
May he rest in peace.
So, to get that taken care of, it needed to be said.
Well said.
So, with the dust settled from that, we step into Monday Night Raw, and Barrett deciding to get all his boys in line. I think, at least that's one way to read him making Otunga lay down and move the belts to Slater and Gabriel. Now this completely shoots me in the foot because I thought what they were going to do was take the tag titles and play Freebird role with it.
That's the question I had. Why didn't they just Freebird the titles?
I'm thinking that Barrett is just trying to, first of all, he's trying to get Otunga back in line because he's well aware of Otunga's trying to usurp him. He's keeping Gabriel and Slater directly under his wing by practically handing them the belt. Then he's got Husky and Joe, who just want to be involved. Who just want to kill people. At least that's Husky.
Well, yeah.
Cena's not going to be happy no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Although, Jim, what did you think of Barrett's offer?
At the end of the show, you mean?
The one at the very end of the show where he said, if you get me, the title, you can leave the Nexus. If you can't, you're fired.
Interesting. Very interesting, and the plot thickens. I'm thinking ahead a little bit, and I don't think it's a guarantee that Barrett comes out of Survivor Series with a title because of that in place. I really don't think so. It's just looking like an out for John to do movies, as we've been, you know, purloining to death the thoughts of him taking time off for movies. We talked about it last week when we were doing Pick'ems, that out is going to be coming, and that might be the out of Survivor Series. I mean, they've shown they're rolling the dice and going a little different with their booking and their creative ideas, so maybe they keep the ball rolling like that, because remember, in wrestling, aside from HBK, who is ever truly fired or retired anymore? You know what I mean?
At this point, yeah.
Yep. Ric Flair came back, a year after he retired?
Looking at you, Terry Funk. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
Terry Funk's been retiring for 30 years.
Forever!
Foley's been retiring for 10.
Yes.
Who else is there? Can't really have a lot of things because he's been retired since 2003. He just comes in and stuns this crap out of people.
Mm-hmm. Austin, yeah. Hogan. I think they finally put something in his back to make sure he does retire. But they can't keep the microphone out of his hands. We're working on it.
Have to take out his larynx. No, wait, then he would just type through a notebook through Gladys. if they can simulate Roger Ebert's voice, I'm sure they can simulate Hulk Hogan saying, "Brother." So.
That amuses me. I bring up The Rock, who has been happily retired and making movies. But Vince has been knocking on Rock's door saying, hey, I can help you promote your movie if you could, swing by and guest host for a night. You won't have to wrestle. And there's a couple of really good places that they could bring The Rock in. Since in the course of the next 8 weeks, we're going to have 3 3-hour Raws.
Ooh.
One of those is one of these is Old School Night, which would be a perfect vehicle for Rock to come in and at least talk. Maybe throw a Rock Bottom, maybe throw the People's Elbow. But I don't know how old school they're going to go. We have no idea what they're planning for that. No names have been discussed, no names have been dropped.
Having watching the stream, we'll call it, for the last couple weeks, we need a new Rock promo. It's just The Rock's promos are just too good.
Oh, I agree, but there's one little problem with this. I've been watching, I've seen enough commercials for some of his movies coming up. I don't know if it's a WWE thing or him just wanting to be him. He does not refer to himself, and the promos and the trailers do not refer to him as The Rock anymore. They refer to him as Dwayne Johnson.
That's because he wants to be him.
Exactly. So he's trying to distance himself, at least I would think.
Or at least distance Dwayne Johnson, the actor, from The Rock, the wrestler. Because for a couple of movies, it was Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Right. I mean, it was a phasing out process.
It was a steady phase out because he was The Rock for Scorpion King, Rundown, Walking Tall, then it started to be Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Now it's just Dwayne Johnson.
Right. Yeah. The other place they could pull him in, and this would be an absolute show stealer, is for the Slammies.
In Philly, no less.
He would probably destroy the entire show. A la his promo / roast when they brought him in for Hall of Fame a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So he has not been seen on TV, and it took WWE to remind me of this, short of a taped promo he did in 2009. So if he's getting the itch, which I don't think he is, there was rumor to that effect, but with he's got his movie Faster coming out. Plus, I think he's doing I think he's on another project right now. It'd be a great place to go ahead and promote. Unfortunately, Vince better close the deal very quickly. Just watch this. I'm going to segue. Stand up for WWE isn't helping Linda one bit. Lucas, have you seen these numbers?
I've heard about them, but I haven't actually seen them.
Break us off a piece.
Blumenthal is now leading Linda in double digits, past the 10%, at least past the 10%, not too far. But the fact that she had closed within 3 points of him before all this nonsense with the Connecticut Secretary of State, who claimed that it was an offhand comment and not an edict about the whole wearing WWE merch to the polls. But apparently, people are starting to see some of the circus pop up with Vince's stand-up for WWE. But nothing against Vince. They put together two killer video packages about this.
True.
So do we give Linda a shot, even an outside chance at beating Blumenthal next week?
I have to say no. I have to say no. And I don't, the other thing, now, there, if I'm not mistaken, if you're in Connecticut, I don't know if we talked about this last week or not, and you go to the polls, you get WWE merchandise free. That's kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? It reminds me of a regime more than a fair election, if you know what I mean. They're absolutely trying to buy votes, according to what I was reading. They are actually going to be at some of the polling places. I don't want to give you misinformation. Let me double check this. One moment, please.
And I just got a. I just got a note that Linda had shown up on Greta Van Susteren's show and just absolutely positively bombed.
Well, she has a way of doing that. Okay, here it is, if it pops up on here. WWE has announced they will be giving away free WWE merchandise near select polling locations in Connecticut on Election Day, November 2nd. They say this their way of celebrating, quote-unquote, the victory of restoring voters' right to wear WWE clothing at the polls, end quote.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's the question. Is this only in Connecticut?
Unfortunately, yes.
And only in select polling places.
Then I would have to say, you know it's only in select polling places? I have to say that's a federal crime.
Pretty much. Well, yeah, the press release notes, you know, fair and balanced, of course, that out of respect from voters from all parties, WWE won't be handing out the merchandise within 75 feet of polling locations. The merchandise will be available on a first-come, first-served basis. Yeah, that's called propaganda voting.
Also, here at school, here at my school, for when we had our GM elections, this past spring, one of the rules is you're not allowed to have any posters or whatnot within 200 feet of a polling site. Granted, it's also because and their barring is only 75 feet. Bull and shit.
So that's where they're going to set up. It's a shame because I wouldn't mind some free swag after going in to vote. But
and they say select locations. You can think of a few: Hartford area, Stamford area, the major big cities, Bridgeport. Anybody?
Bridgeport.
You know, yeah. I mean, you know, it's you know, big city.
New Haven, Danbury.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Sure. I'm surprised they haven't just come out publicly and say, here's where we're going to be. Come and see us.
I'd be more interested if they were selling Hartford Whalers merchandise, but that's just me.
Guy I work with at college still has a Hartford. Guy I work with at college who's the women's basketball coach has a Hartford Whalers hat he bought like a year ago. Like, what the hell? Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But, yeah, it's an interesting sidebar to it, but I don't think Linda has a chance. I really think she has no chance in this, no pun intended on the McMahon family theme, if you will. It's just, you know, and if she doesn't win, I have to say good on her. Good for Connecticut, even though the other guy's a douchebag in his own right, because how much has she spent on this election? Tens of millions? Several tens of millions from Hubby's bankroll?
All right, I'll give her... Here's what I say. I say she's looking... I don't know what hand to put, but she's drawing dead... She's all but drawing dead on the river. She's got four outs. Like a 5% chance, so to use the poker reference, because I was just watching World Series of Poker.
Thank you, Mike.
She's like I said, she's all but drawing dead on the river. She's got four outs. And if she doesn't get it, she loses the main event. Or her main event, at least.
I'm sorry, Armin Chad. I apologize.
I figure with the dust settles, win or lose, then Vince is going to say, ooh. And actually, if she wins, PG will absolutely positively continue. If she loses, at that point, I don't think Vince is going to care. I think the reins might get loosened a little bit after that if Linda loses.
We can hope, but I'm not banking on it. I'm really
one
not
thing,
banking on it.
One thing that I have to say is it's amazing how far PG has been dumbed down since the late 90s. I don't know if we talked about this last week, but WCW, the Nitro, and Raw in 98-99, from what I've seen on the stream, were rated PG.
It's
yeah, it was PG-TV. But it's like, I have to say that, hold on, it sounds like somebody's at my door.
Actually, I'm going
to
throw it out.
We've come to arrest you. No.
No.
Right.
I
have to say they're close to G, if not Y7. That's how far I'm going, right? That's how far I'm going with how far the ratings have dropped, technically.
Well, let me ask this. When the TV ratings were established, was TV-14 an actual thing? Because remember how PG-13 was a later addition to the motion picture ratings.
I believe it was. I believe it was always in place. And
okay.
This is going back, 15 years, mid-90s they came out? Yeah.
Okay. Because the product, it seems that somewhere, though, the brand, the ratings had changed because the style of the show shifted around a bit from 1998 to 2008, but somewhere in there, all the TVPG went to TV-14.
Right.
And somebody just needs to remind Vince and company that look what you were doing in 98 that was considered PG. Maybe whatever governing body that is assigning the ratings has told them you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that.
Well, what it comes down to, I think, is the FCC and all the incidents in sporting events and on television that have happened since 1998 have kind of said, okay, we need to really be extra careful, that kind of thing. You know, we don't want a nipple to show up. We don't want a certain word to be said that's inappropriate, even though, yes, they were cursing like mothers back in 98. They're using preventative measures to the nth degree, I think, and that's both good and bad.
Yeah, from the hours of 9 to 10, we will only use the words. Anyway,
yeah.
So,
geez.
But at the end of the day, if you guys are going to blame somebody, do not blame Vince, although he's the one who implemented it. Blame John Cena for suggesting it.
I blame
somebody
ought
to write a book of 1 million ways to hate John, 1 million reasons to hate John Cena. Somebody write that book, you'll be a millionaire.
Number one, the spinner belt. Number two, PG.
Number three, arm bar. Oh, I'm sorry. Wrong book.
Arm drag.
Arm drag, arm bar, moss covered three handled family credenza.
That's my favorite. I gotta see that in action.
I've never seen it used.
We are all the lesser people in the world for that. Yes. Oh,
and Mr. Fourth, no, we will not blame Cena for killing babies. That was Snitsky's deal, even if he claimed it wasn't his fault.
Wow.
So with that out of the way.
Oh, you also forgot the Saskatchewan spinning nerf hold.
I was also a fan of the Saskatchewan Hardcore Invitational title, but they didn't decided not to keep it.
Because that would be stupid.
Well, and if a Canadian says it, it must be true. Thank you, Ed.
So, I did not see NXT, but I am kind of saving myself for next week in Goldust and Oksana's wedding, because wrestling weddings are awesome. And we did talk, that I know we touched on last week.
Joey Styles is going to have a field day. That's all I'm saying.
Are they gonna let him call the wedding? That'd be I would tune in just.
Well, no,
that.
I mean what he does in the chat room. I mean with the random comments, which are also doubled down on his Twitter account. Just hilarious stuff. It's the only reason to watch NXT, quite frankly.
Well, it's been said that NXT now is pretty much for the company guys. Just saying that they're just in there having fun because they figure nobody's watching it anyway. They're going to have a giant spike next week with everybody showing up for the wedding because, I mean, most of the weddings that they've done over the last decade or so, I've enjoyed. I think the only one I didn't like was the Al Wilson, Dawn Marie one just because it finished.
Yeah. Oh, God, that's one I want to get out of my head. Oh, jeez.
Sorry, I didn't mean to bring that one back up, but I'll bring up fonder memories. Stephanie and Triple H's renewal of vows.
Yes.
Pain crashing Edge and Lita's wedding, which is another big favorite of mine, just because after 8 years of Catholic school, hearing a priest scream Jesus Christ completely out of context made my night.
Yes.
Show's over, line of the night right there.
Exactly. There we go.
However, we still have about 20 minutes of show left. And I'm going to go down my list here. We did that. No, we didn't do this. We have another third generation superstar under contract with the Fed. I'm probably going to mispronounce her name, but I'm going to try anyway. Shao Guerrero, one of Vicky's daughters, has been signed by the WWE.
Excuse me?
You heard me. Now, I've had a couple pictures circulated, and they're dubious to their origins. I do not know what she looks like. Now, the pictures that I did see are to be believed, and she's in shape, and she's ready to go. You know, she just needs to be taught how to wrestle. Now, here comes the bigger question. I'm going to start with you, Lucas. Is this going to turn? Are we going to get another round of Eddie Splitation if she shows up?
My first question is, how old is she?
20.
I'm just curious because I didn't actually hear the story, so I didn't know how old she was and whatnot. So, as for Eddie Splitation, that's a good question. It might be, but it's been so long now that I don't know if they'd actually do it. You know what I mean? So. Like, it's been almost, it's been about 5 years now, so.
It'll be 5 years in the next couple.
It'll be five years
5 years on the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it depends
on
when she gets called up. If she gets called up, like, right away, then there might be. But if it's, like, still a couple years away, then I don't know. But she'll probably be on the next season of NXT on the streaming internet feed.
So do we go for the obvious, Jim, and have her mentored by her mother?
That would be maybe a little too obvious. I don't think so. I think they breed some conflict having her with a face diva as her mentor. I think that would be more interesting. Mother-daughter conflict. That's always fun. Family conflict in wrestling, always fun. But let's just say this. You talk about, what was the term you called it again? Eddie exploitation?
It was a wonderful one that I've seen around the interwebs.
If she comes out in a low rider and you hear Latino heat, yeah, that's Eddie exploitation. Just saying. It's, you know, that would be Eddie exploitation. Otherwise, I don't think so. I just think, hey, they want to give something. I'm all for it. I'm all for it, is what I'm trying to say.
BRM, have you seen any pictures of her yet?
No, I haven't seen anything. But, and I'm sorry, what was the question? I was too busy watching the Triangle Ladder Match or TLC 0.5 from WrestleMania 2000.
Mm. An understandable distraction. No, I was just seeing if you had seen any pictures of Shaul yet.
Oh no, I haven't.
Okay. So, well, I do wish her the best of luck. She comes from a extensive wrestling family, and may she fare better than Hector or Chavo, whose current greatest shining moments involve bird costumes.
I thought Kerwin White was his best gimmick, but that's another story.
What's that?
I thought Kerwin White was his best gimmick, but that's another story.
That's a winner.
Oh no, Bubba just brought out the 20-footer.
But yes, Kerwin White was definitely... Having the honor of seeing it at two house shows and then debuting, actually seeing being at the show where he came to the ring in a golf cart with complete with clubs and caddy.
Because nothing says white like golf. That's right.
Tiger Woods would like to have him.
Well, Tiger Woods is too busy because he's with the bitches. But, you know, hey.
Now, Vijay Singh and Y.E. Yang would also like a word.
Well, I was being facetious, folks. Come on.
I know you were, and I was really going to go around the bend and say Chichi Rodriguez, so.
Oh, yeah. I do not mess with a man who uses a golf club as a sword. That's a guy I want on my team, ladies and gentlemen. He's in my Survivor Series team.
There you go. And I'm looking forward to those builds.
Jeff's about to go for a swanton onto Bubba on a table off the 20-footer.
By God Almighty.
Where do you learn how to fall off a 20-foot ladder?
And don't tell me he knows how to fall. Come on.
And the answer is not FCW. Ask WWE referee Justin King, who just came back from a broken leg from the ladder.
Oh, that's why I've seen some different referees. Okay. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, that ref was actually there. I actually saw him at Bragging Rights last year when they had it in Pittsburgh.
Oh. Okay.
And he was a call-up. He'd been on the road for just a couple of months. He'd gone back to FCW, and I guess they were working on the set or something, and he took a header off the ladder and broke his leg.
Ooh. Fun time.
Ooh, Jeff and Bubba are dead.
Okay. So since you're talking I'm gonna jump ahead to TNA, and I'm only gonna spend a few minutes on it because
and the poor taste.
Yeah, there's only one thing I really, really want to talk about, and that's Ken Anderson, and the concussion angle that they decided to put on this week's Impact. Now, the angle itself, to me, was already in poor taste. I didn't find out till today that Anderson had a legitimate concussion. If I'd known that on Tuesday, I'd have been even madder about this. What the hell, guys?
It's bizarre. I mean, you know, I like it, and of course I'm a big sports fan, but I'll just bring the parallel here to wrestling, though. You know, in sports, when somebody gets a concussion, they're asked they're checked out, and more often than not, they take a week or two off to completely heal. What was the timetable between tapings for Mr. Anderson? A few days, right? If that?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't
a
only
day.
That. A day, because they were going to put him on the road for the house shows. And they told him, oh, no, you won't wrestle any matches. You're just going to sign autographs and maybe cut a promo.
Yeah.
But
and,
after the first day, they had to send him home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he pretty much was loopy. He was full-on concussed. So that makes me wonder about the medical staff and the people behind the scenes, them not doing their job properly, you know, diagnosing and allowing him to do this and to F things up unintentionally, no fault of his own. But to play up the angle is just downright mind-boggling to me. And make it into an angle,
And it's poor timing, too, considering poor taste, and it's poor timing considering the 10 billion concussions we had last week in the NFL. Not this past week, but the week beforehand for the helmet-to-helmet hits. I mean, I know it's NFL and everything, but how many people have been sidelined this year alone for concussions
dozens.
In the NFL?
Dozens. Yeah,
it's the same thing up here, though, with hockey. Like right now, it's been a hot button issue with headshots in hockey for about two or 3 years now. So,
Well, this is nothing new with TNA paralleling things from outside of wrestling, you know, trying to take advantage of that, you know, be it, you know, concussions in other sports or Jersey Shore. So this, we shouldn't be surprised by this, but we are. So.
Another thing that had come up was the fact that it's my understanding that during the show, Matt Morgan was one of the few people to step forward and try to keep Anderson from hitting the ring. Now, this is the guy who's been booting people in the head for a couple of years. It's just kind of strange coming out of his mouth. Is it just me?
Yeah, true.
Yeah, well, we did get a nice, Chris got a nice little plug because Mac said he was a card-carrying member of SLI.
Okay.
He did say that. I don't know if it made it. I don't think it made it to the Impact, but it did make it to Reaction that he said he actually gave Sports Legacy Institute a plug on the show.
It just, you know, and knowing Nowinski's work and knowing what all's gone on with Bret Hart, and I'll even speak from personal experience. I've had a grade one concussion in the training that I got when I was affiliated briefly with Heartland. They're not fun. That is no way to be walking around doing anything.
How long were you sidelined for from that? Just so we can get a basis.
Well, it was two or three days before I even got in to see a doctor because at the time I didn't have any insurance.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
So it was two or three days before I even got it diagnosed, and then I was kept from ring stuff for at least I took myself out for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, I think I went back one other time, and after that, I just didn't. I lost my nerve. Because after that session, when I got my concussion, I had the heart. I was driving alone from Columbus to Cincinnati, and driving home by myself.
Already, I see this is going bad.
Yeah, and driving home with blurry double vision did not sit very well with me. So,
a little dangerous.
So, you know, this whole thing was just in horrible, horrible taste. And TNA is already on my shit list for the 6 minute for 6 minutes of wrestling a couple of weeks ago. They're getting better. They had. I don't know if anybody's got a tally.
I don't have a tally, but I know they had a lot more wrestling this week. They had a nice big cat fight to start things off.
Let me see if my contact has any. Let's see, how much wrestling was on Impact last night? Let me ask my buddy Mikey. I've got a friend out in Muncie who does a play-by-play for an associate of ours in New Zealand. Maybe I can get a thing. So one of these nights I'm gonna have to get Mikey on the show. He's a great guy. Great guy, very, you know, very attentive fan. I would love to see him as an announcer. He would love to be doing commentary. I don't think he'll ever get there, but
because of the nature of the beast that they want commentary as such.
Because he's somebody who he actually pays attention and he actually calls.
He calls
moves,
the
so.
Damn moves. Yeah, exactly.
He calls the moves, so he's doomed from the start.
He's got 3 strikes against him already, sadly, but that's, hey, I'd love to hear his work. Sounds like a decent guy.
So speaking of commentators, I swear to God there was a war going on at the SmackDown announce table tonight. And Todd, poor Todd Grisham just shouldn't wear a dress jacket. He should wear a referee shirt.
Meh.
When it comes to, with Stryker. With Cole on his left and Stryker on his right, it's just insane. They even, you know, apparently they were arguing off mic even before the show formally got started. Although props to Matt Stryker for another Craigslist level non sequitur during the night.
He became a non sequitur.
It was just beautiful. This was during Ziggler Bryan round 3, which by the way has been a very enjoyable series of matches.
Mm-hmm.
Where they were arguing over Vicky Guerrero and whether she was a cougar or a leopard or whatever. To which then Matt Stryker just quips, "Anybody want to watch National Geographic?"
Exactly.
So,
jeez.
But we did get some good stuff out of SmackDown tonight as well. As I said, Bryan Ziggler have just been absolutely lighting it up. They had a fantastic match at Bragging Rights. The rematch on Raw was nothing to sneeze at. What we saw tonight was really good. Should we have lumped them all together that quickly, or should we have spread that out and actually made it a formal feud? I mean, it's kind of tough with them being on different shows.
I'm all for it continuing. If it's going where we think it's going, in terms of unification match, that should be a feud.
Okay,
absolutely.
I think it's actually starting to be a feud now. The way Vicky is now starting to insert herself into the matches, pulling the legs, making the count, I think it's going to be end up becoming a feud that's going to go, I'm going to say at least a TLC.
Okay. Let's see. I've got some answers. Mikey chimes in that there was actually 20 minutes of wrestling on TNA Impact this week.
Hot damn.
I'm impressed.
Call a biscuit. That's roughly, what, 1/4 of your show when you break out commercials?
Add an extra 10 minutes for the the starting clusterfuck involving the ladies as well. Because, I mean, they were going at it. Ric Flair, security, and all the referees couldn't get in their way.
Wow.
Hmm. Fun times.
Oh, and here's some counterpoint from your numbers, GRM. Preliminary bragging rights numbers could rival that of December to disaster.
Oh.
Oh. Oh. Break six figures.
Which segues nicely. Oh, jeez.
Night of Champions is listed as at under 170,000 buys.
Right at 169, actually. 169,000 buys.
Down almost 100,000 from last year.
Mm-hmm.
Vince, you know, if you would just freaking lower the prices, I can tell you exactly what the problem is.
That's exactly it.
$45 for a pay-per-view that I can buy in 6 weeks for $20. And if I can finagle a few things, just rip it off my DVR. But you didn't hear that.
God,
I have no idea what you're talking about.
So,
hell, but back, what is it? Back WrestleMania 20, which is the first WrestleMania I watched on pay-per-view. I watched it on the webcast. For $18, this was when they were beginning the webcast. $18, I saw the pay per view.
They've also the other problem is the fact that I guarantee you his numbers would double if he could actually catch the idiots that are doing the free streams. Because
they can't.
No, they can't. And
inevitably, there's always one.
Oh yeah. And the webcasts are still cheaper than the actual broadcast. And again, when the broadcast is $45 and 6 weeks later I can get it for $20, especially since the night after I'm going to hear everything that happened. And while I'm not going to physically see what happened, because normally they only show stills, I don't miss anything.
Another aspect of it also, and I've noticed this on YouTube, there are people who find ways to put the pay-per-views up on YouTube next day, clips of it in 10-minute segments. And they are, I mean, yeah, they eventually crack down on it, but after the fact, you download the video, you've screwed the pooch by the time however many thousands of people see it anyway.
Right, and oh, by the way, anybody with YouTube and Firefox as their web browser.
YouTube downloader.
You bet.
I just get the stuff too. Yes. To your point, and I'll be very brief because I know we're running up against the clock, as it were. You were talking about lowering the prices. I don't know if you have the numbers in front of you, but year-to-year comparison, they made $1.5 million more with a $39.95 Night of Champions in 2009 than they did with the $44.95 version this year.
Right.
So they made more money, even though, with X number of buys more. So the price is definitely the factor.
I mean, if they could, I can justify $50 for WrestleMania. I'm okay with that.
Sure.
And let's say $40 for the high def broadcast of the rest of the big four of Rumble and SummerSlam and Survivor Series.
But the other's $30 or $35.
Right, because I'll pay an extra $10 for right now if there's a good enough match on the card. But again, we're going to know everything. I just got to chime in from the chat room. If you want to wait 6 hours, you can go get it. You can go get a torrent.
Of That's right, big torrents.
So
very true.
So Vince, you got to fix that. You really got to fix that. Otherwise, you're going to keep doing this. But I think that's going to about do it for us. Yeah, I'm afraid it is.
Yes.
But I would hope that everybody tunes in next week. We will continue the news as news happens. for Lucas Mankari, Mr. Jim Williams, and VRM. My name is Nikki Heyman. We've had a wonderful time here with the North American Wrestling Connection, and we'll be back next week. You've been warned. Good night, all.
I want my
good
mommy,
night.
As I've been warned. Night.
Watch out for bears.
But seriously, gentlemen, thank you so much. This has been a good show. Whoops. Lucas, you're the only one left.
Woo!
But again, thank you so much. And I will just stay in touch. I'll probably have you on again sometime, probably right after Survivor Series. We'll see.
When Survivor Series?
Sunday before Thanksgiving, as in American Thanksgiving, not Canadian Thanksgiving, because I think you guys have already had Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we had that 2 weeks ago.
Okay. Give me a sec here.
Oh, here we go. I found it. 21st.
Okay. So, I don't know what your schedule is, since your schedule is kind of wonky anyway, and the 26th is going to be kind of interesting because I'm going to be in Florida, so I don't even know if I'm going to have access. I might not have access to everything, so we might have a guest host.
Yeah, 26, I don't know for sure yet, but I might be out of town then. I know for sure, I can actually give you this right now for the next month, what I'm available for, because I have the schedule in front of me for hockey.
Sure.
Next week I can't do it, because I'm covering the hockey game. The same goes for the 19th.
Okay.
And the 26th. I might be out of town anyway. I don't know for sure yet. But the only one probably for this coming month would be the 12th. That might be the best time for me, but I'll know closer to.
All right. Why don't you just drop me a line once you find out? Because normally I don't have people on back-to-back. VRM was kind of an accident this time around. He just showed up. He wasn't signed. So this week I had him scheduled because of the UFC stuff. So the 12th, I could probably bug you for that.
All right, yeah, I'll message you. If anything comes up, I'll message you on Facebook beforehand. So
awesome. So I'm going to go ahead and kick you out of here because I got to get up at the butt crack of dawn tomorrow.
Oh, what fun. All right, sounds good. I'll talk to you later.
Later, Lucas. Thanks again.
All right, peace out.
Yep, night.